How is everybody tonight? Are you guys loving the cool weather? Yeah, it's a beautiful evening. Welcome to you. We are grateful that you're here. My name is Suzanne Holtman, one of the ministers here, and your presence makes a difference just by showing up. You contribute to the mysterious ways that God uses our worship in the world that we can't understand now. We will be able to one day. But by just being here, you are contributing to God's goodness in the world. So thank you. Couple of things. I want to thank the band. Thank Justin for that awesome song. And how fortunate we are to have a leader of our worship who writes songs that we get to hear in their originals. It's amazing that worship God so rightly. So thank you for that. And also, while I'm thinking about it, because I know I'll forget, next Sunday is the Fall Festival, and it's going to be a fun event from 12 to 3 in the afternoon. Hope that you will come, invite neighbors and friends and children that you may know. It's for kids and for adults. I will have the wonderful opportunity to sit in the dunking booth first thing. So we're raising money for two of our local charities to feed the hungry, and every ball you throw will give a dollar to those awesome ways that we contribute. So I am just the first one, but there are many after me, including all the ministers here. It's awesome. So I'm going to save up my pennies so I can throw some balls that day. So please come. I'm going to read our second passage for tonight. We are in the midst of the time of the year in our worship when we talk about what does it mean to be a generous faithful person in the church by how we use our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So like all the ways that we give, but that includes the ways that we are generous through what we have, our possessions as well. So here are these words from a scripture that we have used recently in talking about grace, but again tonight, as we talk about what it means to live in generosity in God's kingdom. This is from Luke 15, 11 through 24. Sorry. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in desolate living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went home to his father. But while he was still a far way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe and the best one. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and now is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we know that in the world in which we live, it is hard to live as if we are in your kingdom. It is a daily taking up the gospel and following you. But you give us the power to do this through your Spirit that is alive in us. And so teach us what you want us to know through these scriptures tonight, Lord, about giving and about your reckless generosity and love. Help us to understand that we were created for just this, to abide with you and live as you are in the world. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable and glorifying to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the question tonight for us is, what kingdom are you living in? What kingdom are you living in? What kingdom am I living in? Are we living in the kingdom of God, or are we living in the kingdom of this world? The kingdom of me, really. And especially in our society. To live in the kingdom of this world is to live in a kingdom according to ourselves. Because in our great society that we do love, somehow we have gotten to the point where we have, and maybe we've always been like this, instead of God being in the center, we always somehow manage to edge ourselves into the center. And when we live according to that kingdom, the decisions that we make are all bound up in what is best for us and what we need. And we get it from every direction in American society and really in the world. What do you want? Are you really happy? Have it your way. You remember the old commercial that Burger King put out that was so, just spoke to all of us, right? Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. Have it your way at Burger King, right? And I remember as a kid thinking, that's exactly right. I'm going to have it my way. It's right and good to have it my way. I want it my way. Who doesn't want it their way, right? And yet, when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, particularly in this passage that just exemplifies who God is in the prodigal's father, we hear a message that is so contrary to have it your way, right? We hear a message that challenges us to defy all that we hear in the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of more, the kingdom of I should get to have it my way all the time. And it's good and right to have it my way, right? Have it your way. But when we began to reflect on God's kingdom, we began to ask a different question. And that question is, what is it that God wants? Rather than what do I want? What is it that God wants? What is it that God would have me do with all that I have, all that I've been given, all that I've worked for? What would God have me do? How would God have me live? The prodigal's father in the story of the prodigal son, at some point in his life, made a decision not to live in the culture of me. Because if the prodigal's father was grounded in his own possessions and what was good and right for him, he would have focused more on what was right in that situation, on justice, rather than the extravagant recklessness of grace and generosity. It seems that the prodigal's father knew that all his possessions, all that he had, all that he had worked hard for, his blood, sweat, and tears, was really ultimately a gift from God and was indeed part and parcel of this world that would one day be gone. And so when the son came to him and said, I want to have my inheritance now, thinking to himself probably, it doesn't look like you're going to die anytime soon. I'd like to get what's coming to me. And he took the inheritance and began to just live it up, right? He had it his way. But sooner or later, things began to fall apart, and he found himself in a famine with no money and no resources, and hired himself out and found himself in a pigsty eating with the pigs and wishing he had what the pigs had to eat and remembering that he could return home as a servant, a hired hand in his father's house, and be able to have more than he had here. And so he went home, and we hear the scripture again, how the father saw him coming from afar and ran to him. In biblical times, this image of a father, a master of his home, running out to meet a son who had squandered his inheritance, it was absolutely countercultural, this image of the father running to meet the son who had gone against his father's generosity and wasted all that he had been given. But the father was more concerned about the son than he was about his possessions. He was more concerned about the son returning to him than he was about whatever the son had demanded and had wasted and had lost. And so it gives us this image of a God whose generosity is so reckless and profound that the world would call it foolish. And yet, God's kingdom is not the same as the kingdom of this world. It is not the have it your way and are you really, really happy? Even to ask ourselves, am I really happy, is such a privileged thing. So many places around the world, there is no such thing as asking, am I really happy, but rather, will I be able to feed my children tomorrow? Or will I be safe with my family tomorrow? Or will I live to see another day? So even for us to ask the question, am I really happy, is already privileged and missing the point of God's extravagant grace, rather than asking, what is it that God would have me do? How would God have me live? The prodigal's father knew that he was a steward of all that had been entrusted to him. And so when the son returned to him, he did not demand that his son make amends, but rather he treated him with the extravagant generosity and grace that he himself understood he had been given. It is like us withholding forgiveness when we have been living in extravagant forgiveness all our days. It is like us withholding the bounty of what we have, saving it up for ourselves so that we can have it our way, rather than asking, how do we live extravagantly and recklessly with generosity and grace in a world that tells us that this is foolishness? What kingdom are you living in? Well, if you're like me, you find yourself living between kingdoms, right? When I am abiding with God and when I am living in relationship with God and when I am asking a different question than am I happy and what do I want? When I am living in God's kingdom and asking the question of what it is that God wants, then I find myself living with joy and abundance and not counting the cost of my giving, whether it is in my love, whether it is in my compassion, my concern, the giving of my time, my talents, or the giving of my money. There's a book that is out in the foyer. We invite you to take one. We're, I think, actually asking folks to take one per family, but if you need two per family, then take two. But it is called Defying Gravity, Breaking Free from the Culture of More. And the idea of this book, it's very readable, is that it is almost as difficult to live in the kingdom of God, asking all the time what it is that God wants and how we can live in God's way. It's almost as difficult as defying gravity in our culture. And if it weren't for the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in our midst and within us, we would indeed not be able to defy gravity, to pull and push against the culture of me, the culture of more, the culture of have it your way. Scripture is very clear that what leads to abundant life is not asking, am I really happy? But is asking, how, God, would you have me live my life? How would you have me use my resources that are so have been entrusted to me, that I'm a steward of? How would you have me go about my days? The culture of me is focused on being right, whereas the culture of God's kingdom is about being faithful. In our society today, we are so caught up in who is right that we are missing the whole point of what it means to be human in God's image and created with extravagant grace and generosity. When we join the church here at Christ United Methodist Church, we ask for a promise. We say, will you uphold this congregation? Will you be a part of this church and support it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? Your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. So the giving of all those things are a part of what it means to live in God's kingdom, in this part of this congregation. The scripture is clear that it is only in giving ourselves away that we have true life. It is only in the abundant generosity of living as Jesus lives, loving recklessly, unconditionally, without fail. It is only in that that we find the joy of true life. It is only in following Jesus, in allowing ourselves to be transformed by him so that we can give recklessly and generously. It is only in that that we have the true meaning of what it means to be human. It is hard to live in a society that is so focused on having it your way. And if you don't know that for sure, you will know it if you have kids or around kids, because they show us really what we're like by pretty much desiring things to be about them. And we see a reflection of ourselves. We're just a little more subtle and sophisticated about it. Instead of have it your way, in asking God to have it God's way, we change the reality of our world, and we choose to live counterculturally, to defy gravity. And in doing so, we make the world more with God's, we are a part of God's co-creating of making the world what it was created to be. Sometimes we have to step out on faith in giving, in our prayers, presence, gifts, and service, and witness. Sometimes we have to give when we don't think we have anything to give, trusting that God has called us to be generous. A number of years ago, I was a chaplain at UNC Hospital, and it was about the time that I met Scott, actually. And I probably had a couple of nickels to rub together, but not much more than that. And during that time, there was a family that was in great need that I was, they were on one of the floors that I was ministering to, and they needed some blankets, really. And so I didn't have time to go out and get some money from congregations or to ask someone to help me with this project. And so I went to the store. I remember going, it was when Roses was over in University Mall. Anybody remember Roses? And I went there and I decided I would buy these blankets and I was going to put it on my charge card, which oddly enough, when I had no money, I never used a charge card. And somehow, when I began to earn money, I started using a charge card, which is just crazy, and I'm trying to repent of that and do better. But anyway, I used a charge card to pay for these blankets for this family. And I remember going through the line and just, I was really concerned about doing it because I knew that I didn't have the money to pay it off the next month. And so I went to the family and took them these blankets and gave it to them. And I really just asked the Lord to bless this family and to bless these blankets that would cover them. And the thing is that when that bill came due the next month, I wasn't able to pay it all off, but I was able to pay it off a little bit at a time. But that was nothing compared to the joy of their faces when I gave them those blankets. And when we had a relationship, it wasn't just me giving to them. They gave to me. I mean, I was a lot better off than they were after they ministered to me. So the joy that we have in giving is beyond really understanding until you've been there and done it. But it takes stepping out in faith. I'd like to say that that I ended up like not having to pay that credit card off. But I did, because we live in the world. But we live with in the now and the not yet of God's kingdom. And so the invitation as we defy gravity is for us to listen to the prodigal's father and to see the extravagant generosity of his love and to ask God how we can be faithful in this life. And to ask him to give us the power to live it every day with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness in all that we are and do. And the joy that fills the hole in our soul will be far more than we can ever hope for or imagine. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.